I was thinking a lot today. I don't know why. I was just thinking about Scripture and how Jesus, the different things Jesus became for us and to us. And one of the things, it's in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, "But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and he righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." So Jesus is our, you know, our sanctification, our holiness, and Jesus is our righteousness, you know. Righteousness just simply is to do the right thing. If you walk in righteousness, you're walking, doing the right thing, obeying the Father, obeying the laws of God, right? So in my mind, these other, this passage in 1 John 3, excuse me if I'm a little skippy, it's kind of hard to gather my thoughts here. This is in 1 John chapter 3. And John, in his epistle here, was confronting a religious or a antichrist spirit. You know, in chapter 4 it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And he goes on, "By this you know, Spirit of God, everyone that confesses Jesus has come from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them." So the same Antichrist spirits back then, they're still around, right? And they're always battling, you know, kind of coming to us as Christ himself, but it's the very antithesis of who he actually is. So he was confronting that when John was writing to them. That was a particular one. They were Gnosticism. And so he was kind of putting it in black and white for them. Right? This is how you know, right? Just like if you, you know, if you've ever been run over by a car, okay? You know, right? You know, if you ever been hit by a car, you know. You know, there's no doubt about it. It says 1 John 3. "Everyone who practices sin," or lives, that word lives in a lifestyle, "practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in him practices sin. The one who sins has seen him or knows him." Again, this isn't talking about blowing it. This is talking about living a lifestyle that way. "Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God or has the presence of God within him practices sinful lifestyle, because his seed, God's seed, his Holy Spirit, abides in him. He cannot, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother." So part of practicing righteousness, of course, is loving the brother, right? That's kind of the litmus test there. But it's interesting in a lot of things that's going on in our country right now, when it says sin is lawlessness, right? And if you read 2 Thessalonians, if you ever never read that, go read it, okay? And it's talking about one that's coming, and he's called the lawless one, lawlessness one, and where he won't submit himself to any laws, right? He is kind of the law, and that's how we can recognize him, you know, talking about the laws of God or any law, just lawlessness. It's interesting that doesn't want to submit to that, right? Galatians, kind of tying this together, we'll kind of pull it all together here in Galatians. Read a few scriptures here. "For you are called to freedom, brethren," this is in chapter 5, "only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say to you, walk by the power of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And I had all these, I had some definitions written in here, and I think I left them on my desk, which is not uncommon, but that's okay. We'll get through it. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. And these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please, or the word is to feel like. So I don't respond how I feel, right? And we do that a lot. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. If you've ever been wondered why sorcery is a deed of the flesh, and that's how people are kind of drawn into a witchcraft, things like that. There's a thing of our fallen nature and our flesh that appeals to. That's how kids are drawn to it. And I won't name the series of books and movies, but there was one where a lot of children were drawn into that. And I went to pray for a person one time because it messed them up really bad. And one of those particular characters was coming to their room, and they could see its face at night, you know. I tried to warn the father, say, don't let him do this because it is a demonic open door. And, of course, he didn't listen to me. And so I had to go over there and pray for their house. And once we prayed for and blessed it, then that thing quit showing up. But lesson learned, right? But it's the deed of the flesh, our flesh. Enmities, that's just hostilities. Strife is quarreling. Isn't that something? Jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions are just separating, standing apart by your opinions and separating yourself is a deed of the flesh. Factions, or that word's a S-E-C-T, sex in that way, different like Sadducees, Pharisees, factions, or separating myself with this group or separating myself with that group is a fleshly thing. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you will not experience the kingdom of God, because that's not a part of the kingdom of God, right? But the fruit of the Spirit, and here's what you could say, well, what does righteousness look like lived out of me? Here's the fruit. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, it actually calls it the fruit of righteousness. This is the fruit of righteousness, which is love, the very first one. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with all of its passions and desires. So if we live by the Spirit, are we living by the power of the Spirit? We're born again by the Spirit. Let us also walk by the power of the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Real powerful scripture here. You know, talks about, we're kind of seeing a lot of that played out. And a few weeks ago I spoke, you know, just again out of 1 John, just to beware, to know the Spirit behind and everything. There's a Spirit behind it, right? And beware and be careful. Know the Spirit behind it. But if it's not producing this fruit, right, then it's not of God, right? You can see a lot of the other ones that it's producing, but if it's from the Lord, it's gonna bear the fruit. It's gonna exalt Jesus, right? Not saying that there's never a place to do that, or there's never a, you know. Our whole denomination was birthed out of the pro-life movement, standing up, you know, trying to stop the evil of abortion. And a lot of times it would be going to the clinics. Many of y'all have been there, praying, you know, standing signs, all that kind of stuff. That was just of the Lord, you know, trying to counsel the people on the way there. There's been so many on their way to kill their babies that were stopped and loved on, right? Because everybody responds to love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So that's who we are. The grassroots of the Charismatic Episcopal Church was founded in the pro-life movement. So there are things that the Lord wants us to do and wants us to stand up stand for righteousness and stand for the right thing and do the right thing. But it's got to be Spirit-led. It's got to be, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the power of the Spirit, right? It can't be all these other things of the flesh which stir up quarreling is a fleshly thing. You know, arguing, stirring up those kind of things in us. My personality is not like that. I'm not an arguer or you know, quarreling. But TC's is. She's kind of drawn to that. That's a, you know, she kind of likes to do that. And that, I'm not talking about when, you know, you're speaking of truth and both, but you just got to be careful. Because when you get in, drawn into things like that, it's easy to get into the flesh, right? So, but you have the righteousness. Oh, yeah. The other one, Romans chapter 6, and here's a really good one. It tells us that because we're in Christ, each of us are now enslaved to righteousness, right? That's what Jesus did. You're bound. You're in union with the righteousness of Jesus. It says you are enslaved to that. And now it says you are under the dominion of grace, the grace of God, the power of God, the ability of God. Everything that Jesus has is the grace of God. That rule and reigns over your life now, and you are actually a slave to righteousness. And it says this too, that righteousness is a weapon. So the best way to defeat what's going on, we know, is going to be in our prayer and walking in righteousness, the things I've told you. That's a weapon, and it's a weapon against the powers of darkness, right? Causing to flee. Matter of fact, that the very word in Romans 6 means literally weapon. So what do we do in these days? I tell people this all the time. It's not a time to be casual in your walk with God, right? It's time to just press in like never before. Seek His face. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, like Jesus said in Revelation, you know, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I can only hear something if I'm present to it, right? So my encouragement to you is to press in during this time. Seek the Lord. Jesus is going to win. Revival is here. Revival is coming. And Jesus wins. Amen.